Now, we're going to chat about male baldness and just going bald and the emotional impact that that can have on men. Chris Wasser has written a great article about how it affected him, and he's with me in studio to chat about it. Chris, thanks so much for coming in. You know, it's a vulnerable topic, and you know, to open up about it and to share your story and your experience, and undoubtedly it'll help other people, you know, is brave, some might say, but also, you know, so important. So can you take us back maybe to the first time that you may have noticed signs of baldness?
Yeah, thanks a million for having me on, Anna. Yeah, I think the first time was I had just come back from a few days away with some friends, and one of the guys posted a photograph of me on Facebook. So I was about 22, probably about 22 at the time, if not like just almost 22.
Very young, yeah.
And there was one group shot where I just thought something doesn't look right there. And what I meant was I zoomed in and it looked as though someone had taken like a pencil eraser to like the right side of my scalp and it just started, you know, lightly, you know, rubbing out my hair basically. And I thought, is that a problem? Like, so I checked in the mirror and I immediately just panic stations, just thought, what's going on here? Because that's the strange thing about losing your hair. You don't notice it at the start. It's already happening to you by the time, you know,
That was the first time.
Yeah. I remember standing in front of the mirror there in the old family house and just panicking. And then that was all I thought about when I was going to sleep that night. And then it kind of went away because I think I thought the problem would go away. Mm-hmm. So that's the funniest thing about hair loss is you genuinely don't think it's going to happen to you, despite the fact that I do come from a long line of baldies. Mm-hmm. And then the second funniest thing is that you think that you will be the only person in the world where it just stops magically by itself. Yeah. And it didn't. So basically, I always used to say that the grass stopped growing on the right side of my head. Mm-hmm. And that was a problem for me because my hair fell to the left. So I started to try and force my hair over the other way, which I'm sure maybe it's like, you know, I was giving people a mirror image of myself and I didn't like doing that, but I had already started to essentially comb it over. I remember then people started making jokes because, you know, family and friends could actually see it. And it was, you know, almost acceptable in air quotes to, you know, crack jokes about that. No one ever said to me, oh, does that bother you?
Yeah, are you okay?
Yeah, because it really did. And I remember then a trip to the barber's. And it was a barber's in Stephen's Green that I hadn't gone to before. And I remember them saying, the person cutting my hair asked me if I had burnt my hair recently. And I remember thinking, what exactly does she mean by that? And it was because my hair was so thin on top.
And do you think that was because you were so young that they weren't putting two and two together and thinking, well, actually this could be a condition?
Yeah. Like that there's no way like that this guy in his early 20s maybe could, you know. And I thought it was so strange myself, but I knew exactly what they were talking about. So it became a big problem very quickly. It became something I was quite self-conscious about. I started to do everything I could to hide it. My morning preparation was just, it was just a nightmare. I think I'd spend about 20 minutes to half an hour every morning preparing my hair in a way that I would feel, you know, confident and comfortable about for the rest of the day. And I worked out that's like nearly 3 hours a week, just kind of pushing the same sorry rock up the same steep hill. And it just really, really gets to you. And it affected my confidence. It affected my stance. I remember I would kind of, it's almost as if I tried to hide in my own body and I just kind of hunch over and I didn't want anyone to see it. And I'd wear hats all the time just to kind of cover it up. Hated sitting in areas and restaurants where you'd be like directly under a light and that would just draw attention to it. Hated having my hair cut. Despise changing rooms in clothes shops because there's nobody else obviously in there in the change room with you, but you cannot avoid change rooms. Are the worst. They just highlight
all
they're
the
worst
for everybody. Yeah. Nobody likes the lighting and the mirrors that come with changing
rooms. No, and every time I looked into the mirror, I was just like, there it is. There is my problem. And I think at one stage, then the family intervention was required, and that was the first time that I shaved my head.
Before we get to the shaving the head, because that's a very significant part of your story.
Yeah.
Some people listening, maybe people that have experienced baldness and maybe some that haven't, might say, well, what's the big deal? Like, why did it matter so much to you?
I mean, the short answer is I don't know. I remember thinking at the time, and I think this problem still exists that, you know, baldness is sometimes equated to ugliness. And I kind of worried that that was it, you know, in terms of dating, in terms of how I look, just my social life is over. I'm going to look ridiculous. And I feel I don't feel good about myself saying that and, mm-hmm. and admitting that I thought that, because as I said, I come from a long line of baldies, and that, you know, am I kind of criticizing my dad's look or his dad before him? I'm not. I just, at the time, I just thought, I don't want, you know, to lose my hair. And I think as well, I used to think that my hair kind of defined me and it was all part of my identity, because as a teenager, I dyed it every color and
really?
I grew it every, I mean, like my hair changed depending on, you know, the films or the shows that I was watching or the music that I was listening mm-hmm. to. So at one
and
point,
for many people, they do that depending on where they are in their life, their hair reflects that.
Absolutely. I mean, you can change your outfits all you like, but the hair is mm-hmm. the kind of, you know, the at the time I thought the central characteristic of who you are. And I used to, I just loved having hair, basically.
So for you then, going from being in a place where it affected your confidence, you know, you hated being in certain situations, to then deciding at 25, this is it, I'm shaving it off. How did you get to that point, and what was that day like for you?
With great difficulty. That's how I got to that point. Mm-hmm. I remember my aunt, Angela, she's a former hairdresser, and there were a group of us in my parents' house, and she had the trimmers with us, with her. Don't know why, maybe this was planned in advance. And I had agreed to a haircut, but I don't remember agreeing to like a shave. But then once I sat there and I had the cloak on me, I just thought, okay, go for it.
Really?
And again, another thing was that I had seen a photograph earlier in the day, and I thought, I really have lost this battle. Mm-hmm. And actually, wouldn't it be easier to just get rid of the whole thing? And then you're not worrying about losing it anymore. You're taking control of it in a way, mm-hmm. and you're deciding, this is how I'm going to look. I remember the first time I saw myself, I did cry. I did get, you know, a little bit annoyed. But I did, because it was like the person staring back at me, it was like, who's that? You know, I tried to imagine what that might look like, and I was a bit upset about it. I think what was worse was that I came back into Dublin that night, went to a gig in the Olympia Theatre, and I remember the first time a person called me baldy was outside the Olympia Theatre in Dublin, and it was a scalper, the irony is not lost on me there, trying to sell me a ticket, or buying or selling baldy, that's what he said. And I
How did that feel?
I can't even tell you what gig that was. Or what back, but I remember that because I think I spent like the next 2 hours, and I was probably reviewing that gig at the time. So I'd love to see what that article looks like, because for the 2 hours I was not paying attention mm-hmm. to the band. I was paying attention to the fact that this is me now. I'm baldy, and I hated that.
How did you learn to cope with those kind of comments, not just from strangers, but from friends and family?
You get used to it. There were a lot of jokes from friends and family. There still are, you know, some comments from family every now and then, and some friends, and you know, you do get used to them and you do shrug them off depending on what kind of day you have. I mean, I think that's fair enough too. That
should you have to shrug them off though?
I don't think you should, because imagine if you were to make a comment based on, you know, someone else's appearance. I would never comment on someone else's appearance, or imagine saying something about their weight or saying something about their face, or you know.
And people do all the time, whether
really
somebody
do.
Has lost weight, put on weight, they've changed something about themselves. It's almost like we can't help but comment on somebody's appearance.
Oh, yeah.
We have idea what they're going through.
So judgy. And that's all. Like, I mean, it's so weird that like another person can say those things and they won't put any thought into the fact that that might cut the other person a little bit. You know, it does go deep. But at the time, when I first shaved my head, there were an awful lot of jokes because, you know, it was a different look.
And you were young.
I was young. And I sort of got used to it, but also sort of enjoyed the look. I enjoyed the, it's quite easy to maintain this style. And then, you know, eventually I realised that I don't need to be going to the barbers every week and a half or 2 weeks. I can just do this myself at
home. You're focusing on the positives.
And then I was focusing on the positives, And then, you know, after the first few attempts of shaving my own head, you know, it was quite a sore process, but I've gotten very used to that now. And I did find that after a while, like my confidence came back, and because I'd spent so long trying to hide myself and not liking the way I looked. And then I realized, oh, actually, I much prefer it this way because I'm not hiding anymore. And I've taken control of it. You know, there are days when I do look in the mirror, and it's probably just during the winter, I'm cold. You know, I wear hats now not to hide my head. It's just, you know, to either shield it from the sun or practicality in the winter. But I eventually started to actually love my look. And I can't imagine what it would be like now to have hair. And my parents had said to me before, you know, I remember my dad sitting down with me and him saying, I can help you out. Like he had lost his hair when he was in his early 20s as well. And he had offered to help me out because he was saying that, you know, there are things you can do now. There's a certain, you know, you can go for the transplant, you can go for surgery. Yes. I can help you out if you want to do that. I just never really wanted to do that. I wasn't really comfortable. I hadn't got the funds, but also even if someone was to lend it to me, I just didn't really feel comfortable spending that money on myself. I don't know why. That's another question, I suppose. I just just decided, no, I'm just going to shave it. And that's no judgment. I think it's great that guys can do that now and more men are talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why I started talking about it more recently, was because for whatever reason, I'm starting to see an awful lot of ads around the place for hair restoration products mm-hmm. or surgery. And I do think it's important that those conversations are happening mm-hmm. because, again, like it's only 10, 11 years ago, but when I was struggling with it, nobody was talking about it.
Yeah. And we have seen people come out even in the public eye since and they're talking about whether it's hair transplants or confidence.
Yeah.
And I suppose one of the things that struck me, because I was taking a look myself before I knew we were going to be chatting, is mm-hmm. that, you know, everywhere you look, there seems to be inverted commas solutions, you know, like, that almost like it's a problem that needs fixing. Yeah. And that creates a narrative then. Maybe there's somebody out there that's experienced or maybe it's in the early days of what you've gone through. And I mean, that's the wrong type of narrative. If somebody wants to take control and get a hair transplant, brilliant, but it shouldn't be seen as a problem.
Yeah, that's the thing that always bothers me, that hair loss is a problem that requires fixing. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. But again, I think it's great that guys can, you know, if you can afford it and you don't mind and you have the funds and you don't mind the fuss, like, go for it in terms of surgery, but and also in terms of shaving it. That's not, you know, just it's a different look. It's not a problem that you're mm-hmm. fixing. You're just going for a different look. You're kind of taking back control. I hate that, you know, a lot of advertisements like the ones I mentioned, it's always like, you know, this is the end of the world and we've got the problem for you. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. It feels like it for a while. Yeah, we have those kind of solutions that are always out there for every health and beauty fix. Yeah. You know, going through what you have done mm-hmm. and having learned what you have over the last number of years, what would you say to somebody right now that's listening that might be at the early stages of what you've gone through?
Like what I said a minute ago, it's not the end of the world. It mm-hmm. definitely feels like it. And I'm not going to tell people to not feel bad about it, because the only people that actually say that think that it's not a problem are the ones that aren't affected by it mm-hmm. or that it wasn't, you know, something to worry about are the ones that aren't affected by it. But what I will say is it will get better. Take control of it yourself rather than worrying about it. You know, don't do what I did. Like, I would go around, I'd pat the area on my head repeatedly mm-hmm. all the time while I was working or while I was watching a film or anything, and as if I thought that patting it was going to mm-hmm. make it grow back. And I just went around just hunched over and just mm-hmm. embarrassed and almost like, I just felt ugly. And I would just like to say, like, if anyone's feeling like that, you're not ugly. Don't be embarrassed about it. If you think that it will make things better by taking control of it and shaving it, do that. Mm. If anyone ever says to you, if anyone ever makes a jokey comment, actually ask them, why do you think that's funny? Mm-hmm. And if they say it's only a joke, well, then just say it's be funnier, because you would not do that with someone else. You wouldn't pass comment on their appearance. I'd like to think you wouldn't. And I like to think I wouldn't. Bald is beautiful, you know, and I'm going to believe that. I don't know who said that, but I've decided that I'm going to believe that.
Yeah, well, Chris, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story and for being so honest about it. And, you know, even the idea of working on your confidence, everybody deserves to feel confident in their own skin, however they look.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that, you know, you have come out and spoken about it. I'm sure there's lots of people listening that have taken so much from it. So thank you so much for coming
Thanks
and
for
chatting
me.
With us.